Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Yes, indeed, in a very special Lost in the Static it's going to be, but before
Do we mean
we...
special in a derpy kind of way, or special in a nice kind
no,
of way?
No, we mean special in a nice kind of way, thank you. But before we begin, first off, Josh, I was thinking about shoving something large and rubber up my ass. What, where would you send me?
Probably to adamandeve.com. And then I would tell you to use the promo code STATIC when you're there, and they would cover 50% off of your whatever your rubber butt toy is.
Okay.
They would pay for the shipping. They'd even throw you some DVDs to lube you up a little bit. And they'll even throw you in a mystery gift, which, who knows, it might actually be lube. I don't know what the free mystery gift is. It could be everything you want to stick up your butt all in one transaction by using the code STATIC at adamandeve.com.
But again, free shipping within the U.S., 3 free DVDs, and 50% off of a single item.
And a free mystery gift.
And a free mystery gift.
You cool. always forget the mystery gift.
Yeah, that's because it's
mysterious.
It's a mysterious, yeah, exactly.
I'm like, every week you forget the mystery gift.
So... joining us this week is a very good guest, a friend of mine. I've been podcasting with him and doing voice work with him for years now. Mr. Jason Oblivion, are you there, sir?
I am here, and I was afraid of how much I had to behave myself, but after hearing that fucking promo, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, your reins are off in this show, but
hey, do you guys know what the special gift is? I know what it is. The secret gift.
Okay, what's that?
It's a copy of Slammin' Granny and the Fanny.
Well, that's that.
It's perfect. A possibility.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
the reason why we're bringing Mr. Oblivion onto this show is today Josh and I wanted to talk about raising kids in this day and age, which is way different.
I think I had a better title: Unchained Hellspawn Loose in the Country.
That'll work. We wanted to talk about raising kids in this day and age. Josh is a father of an 18-year-old, 5-year-old boy.
pretty much.
And Jason has a boy and a girl of his own. Now, they are just, let's see, you said your boy was in what, third grade?
Yeah, he's 8 and my daughter's 3.
Perfect. So she's got a couple of years before she starts school yet. But
can't wait.
Now, think back to when you were in elementary school. I don't know about you, Jason, but I was in elementary school right on the tail end of corporal punishment. So they were still spanking when I was in elementary school, and I had some real, I mean, the teachers always had kind of kids' best interest in mind, but they were also extreme disciplinarians. What do you see with teachers today?
Well, teachers today, I mean, look at the news, man. All it is now is teachers today are like sexing up their students. I mean, I'm not kidding you, dude. Every goddamn week, there's a new story coming out of the LA County School District in Los Angeles about another teacher that has been having sex with their goddamn students. And it's mostly middle school, and it's in the same fucking school district. Oh, I think we're up to 6 now, I think. 6 yeah. In the last month and a half.
And these are 12, 13-year-olds, yeah.
And I got to wonder, where the fuck were these when I was in middle school? I could have used that instead of just spanking it into a pillow or a sock.
I know, dude. My 6th-grade band director, she had cans that just seriously wouldn't quit. I mean, they were like a binary star system stuck on her chest. And I tell you, if she ever wanted to do some illegal activity, I certainly wouldn't protest or turn her in.
I want to give a little background. After recording a couple of weeks ago, Scott and I went out to get some dinner, and there were just these two crotch monsters running up and down the aisles at the restaurant, and the mom looked like she just gave up. She didn't care anymore. She was just, they're not my problem for the next 15 minutes. And these kids are running around, knocking over tables, bothering patrons, and Scott and I are like, what the fuck happened to parenting?
It's gone to shit. Completely gone to shit. I mean, that's why I don't go out to eat, because I know my daughter wouldn't sit down and shut up. So I'm not even going to put anybody through that. But I agree. I mean, every goddamn time, for instance, I mean, there's this place we like to go, a hometown buffet, right? And it's a buffet. It's cheap. It's the only buffet chain here in town. And it tends to attract the Hispanic population because they can feed all 15 of their 95 children for cheap. And I'm not kidding you, man. I'm sitting there trying to eat my cheap-ass fried chicken, and I got little El Huelo over here standing on top of the goddamn table doing a fucking hat dance while I'm trying to eat, and the parents are just sitting there like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. That's just like, if that was my kid, I'd toss that little bastard on the floor and shut that up and shut the hell up, you little shit.
Yeah, see, I completely agree, and I'll admit, last week when Josh and I, like you said, when we were eating, and I've done this at restaurants before. I'm trying to remember if I did it when you came to visit me here in Wisconsin or not, but where kids are just running back and forth and back and forth, and both Dawn and I have stuck our legs out, you know, it accidentally, completely, at exactly the wrong time, just in the right time to send the little one sailing.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. You know what I like doing, too, is, like, if you're at a restaurant or whatever, and they got, like, the soda fountain. I like going up there and they're like standing there taking all their sweet fucking time because they don't know what sugary beverage they want to shove down their hole. I like bumping into them and dumping their soda on them. By the way, I have to apologize for my kid's sound in the background, by the way.
It's actually appropriate.
That's my daughter.
But
it's
I mean,
no birth control, folks.
I used to work at a hotel, a really nice resort. And you had like the central meeting place where everybody could hang out. And there was just these lawn monsters running all around bothering everybody. So we got called to go take care of it. And we found the room that they were supposed to be in. And the parents were like, "We's on vacation. They your problem for the next hour. We's on vacation from them too." And it's just, they just turn them loose. You know what? If you can't deal with the outcome, wear a fucking condom or fucking get the abortion. It's still legal in most states at this point.
Man, they're even accepting late term abortions now. I mean, you got to your kid's 13 to consider that.
I hope so, because then you can just pack a bag and go. They're gonna get you, you little fucker.
Yeah.
Well, that. No. I'm sorry, Jason, but that brings up a really good question. I remember, you know, like I said, when I was growing up. On the way home, you know, if you fuck up at elementary school,
mm-hmm.
on your way home, I used to have my neighbors, "Hey, I heard what you did today. Come here, smack. That's for your mama. Now go on home." And nowadays, do you think that the power of discipline has been taken away from parents? I mean, are you afraid to really discipline your kids when they deserve it? Or
I think there's two observations you can take out of what you just said. First of all, I think one of the biggest problems is the fact that the community as a whole does not raise children anymore. Okay? So, I mean, you're right, because back in the day, it was the community, at least where I grew up. I grew up in the Midwest, too, in Michigan, and it was the community that raised the kids as a whole. But, you know, as times have changed and as the social landscape of communities have changed, it's not like that anymore because everyone's fucking sue happy. "Don't look at my kid or I'm going to fucking sue your ass." And the second point is that, you know, you're right. It has changed because of the whole sue happy mentality where people can't discipline their kids anymore because you got some nosy asshole who was going to turn you into CPS because you got to smack your kid up in the fucking store. But frankly, if more kids got their ass smacked a little bit, then, you know, I think a lot of this Columbine-esque style, you know, after school activities would cease. But now kids are such spoiled little bastards. They don't give a shit because there's no ramifications for their fucking behavior. None.
Exactly. I read a story about a year ago about this is kind of getting into the sexual thing with teachers again. A guy was a new teacher in a new school. They were already in the middle of the school year. And he was smart enough to record this on his phone. A really attractive, slutty girl came up to him and said, "If you don't give me all A's, I'm going to tell them you touched my boobies. I hope we have an understanding." And he went to the principal and they said, "If you didn't have proof of this, we would have let her get away with it because she's got all the power. The kids have too much power. They should not know how the system is played like this at age 13. They shouldn't."
Well, and what happened to the student? I guarantee you she didn't get thrown out of school. She probably just got a talking to.
Yeah, Yeah, and if this hadn't been reported, I don't know who went to the paper, but this was reported in a newspaper. Somebody went to the paper, probably because the teacher said he quit like the next day, and I'm sure his union was like, we need to figure out why this just happened.
Shit.
But yeah. What it comes down to is kids should not know how to play the game as well as adults, and that's part of the problem I see.
Where are they learning the game, though? You think it's because of the internet and all that instantaneous access to collective media that they're figuring this shit out? Is someone telling? I mean, where are they learning to play this game? Are they just sick in the head now?
I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. Look at the Facebook dad, the dad that freaked out and shot his daughter's laptop. I was all for that. I'm like, good. That little bitch is going to know not to go mouthing off on Facebook about her parents again.
But I don't think controlling your children with firearm fear is really necessary. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with laying down the law, but I mean, really, whipping out guns on your children? I think that's a little over the line. Maybe hit it with a baseball bat. But I get what you're saying, though, is that, you know, at least he had the balls to, you know, lay down the law. But see, then you're also treading the very fine line of what is appropriate and, you know, what's excess. Because, you know, if it's excess all the time, then you're just going to turn your kids into a fucking maniac too. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's delicate parenting all the way around. You know, you got to find that line right in the middle. And if you go too far to one side, then you're going to jack your kids up.
Yeah, what it comes down to is you don't want Bart Simpson, but you don't want Seymour Skinner either.
No, God, no.
You know, you need that happy medium, but then you don't want Homer Simpson either. So I guess that he unfortunately would be the happy medium, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I guess. As long as you don't have an Eric Cartman on your hands. Holy Christ. Sorry.
Why did I just picture you in one of those little snowball caps and a red jacket?
Hey, guys, shut the hell up.
So what do you think, Jason? Do you think we need to come down and just start repealing some of these laws that, and obviously there's going to be people, there is child abuse. We are not making fun of legitimate child abuse, people that have legitimately been dealt a brutal hand in life. But now and then, a regular kid, I think, needs a good smack in the middle of the store. Don't you agree?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, when you break it all down, you know, human beings are animals anyways, okay? And, you know, look at the animal kingdom. You know, you don't see lions or any other kind of animal out there. Come on now, Junior. Don't keep biting my nipples off like that. No, they smack them around a little bit. But you also don't see them tearing their heads off and eating them either, you know? It all comes down back down to there needs to be a fine medium. Because kids are not cognitive enough to make sound decisions at that age, and they need to be, it needs to be explained to them on a little, on a more primal level. You know what I mean?
You know what I just pictured when you said that? You know, the lion smacking the young one around, the baboon coming over and serving him with papers?
Exactly. Exactly.
If we're going to personify, we might as well go over to a ridiculous route, right?
Oh, absolutely, and that's a great comparison because, you know, you've got what's going on in the lion's world. It has nothing to do with what's going on with the fucking baboon. It shouldn't be his goddamn business, and that's exactly what's going on today. You know, other people are getting into your fucking business. They don't know. They don't know what kind of rat bastard ass child your kid is. They don't know your kid needs a smack upside the back of his head every so often. All they give a shit about is, I'm going to make a point. I'm going to stand out and make a name for myself by turning this person in for disciplining their kids. Shut the hell up. That's what I say.
So this is the switch that I've seen. You said that the community isn't as involved as it used to be. And I think on a local, like a neighborhood level, I think you're exactly right. The community that I think has gotten involved that shouldn't be is the community. It's a wider, it's a further removed community, be it a governmental agency or be it, you know, the new mom who just had her baby and she's all baby crazy and she sees you discipline your child a little bit at the grocery store and she only gets that one little tiny bit of the story Well, she feels the need to step in, even though she's, you know, way removed. And if one of your neighbors saw it, would have been like, well, yeah, they fucking deserved it. You know, so is that the kind of switch that you're seeing, or?
I do see that. And what I don't understand is why that switch was made. I don't get why it is people. Well, I don't understand what has happened, the reason people feel they need to get involved in other people's business. I mean, obviously, if you're standing there, you can tell whether or not, for instance, in the grocery store, if a mom or a dad is beating the living shit out of their kids, you know, but a smack on the ass, come on, really? I don't understand what has happened, the reason now everyone is so goddamn sensitive and like, oh, you can't smack your kid on the ass. I'm going to go call the cops on your ass. What are they going to get out of that?
Self-gratification? Because I've been the victim of that. My son, when he was about 8 or 10 years old, he fell at school in front of a group of teachers, hit the edge of the sandbox, huge black eye, took up like a quarter of his face. We were grocery shopping that night. Some lady saw me kind of, you know, verbally snap at him and assumed, oh, he must have done that to his eye. I get home, there's a police officer and social services waiting to talk to me. And I had to go to the school to prove to them I didn't do this, because some fucker in the grocery store said, oh, black eye on a kid? Dad obviously did it.
So what would have happened if that shit, like, let's say he was out at the playground with just his buddies, or maybe by himself riding his bike, and that happened? Then what would have happened?
I don't know. That's what scared me. I just kept telling myself, I am so happy this happened in front of teachers that can verify I was nowhere near him when that black eye happened.
You know, it's more or less now when your kids go out, it's not even enough now to say, don't get hurt, Junior. Be careful. It's like, hey, listen, if you're going to do something stupid and bust yourself up, at least have witnesses, asshole.
Well, the way they're all videotaping everything, there's probably going to be a YouTube clip of it anyway.
Yeah, no shit. Exactly. Between that and the fucking camera police state going up slowly.
maybe that's why nowadays, you know, I remember, Jason, going out and you want to go ride bikes. Yeah, you get on the BMX bike and you ride down to the dirt trail that's lined with, you know, spikes, and there's a jaguar let loose in there every once in a while. And, you know, you didn't have pads. You didn't have anything like that. I think nowadays maybe they're putting all the helmets and pads on the kids, not because they want the kid protected, but because they don't want any bruises coming back on the parents. Exactly.
They want a liability issue taken away.
It's more like now when you take your kid to the ER and say, oh, God, I got to get to the front of the line. My kid's leg's broken. So you walk in the front door going, man, I didn't do shit.
Well, it also comes down to, I think, you know, when we were kids, we're all about the same age. When we were kids, it was, you know, you might have feared the one neighborhood bully when you went out to play, or that one creepy guy's house you'd have to walk down. Nowadays, you know, mom's going to have to tell you, like, now this is what happens if some loser tries to duct tape you into his trunk and shit like that. It is a more dangerous world out there today.
It is definitely, and it's not even, I mean, shit, man. It's not even where you have to worry about what's going on the outside now. I mean, now it's the outside, it's the internet. I mean, it's everywhere, you know? And one little fuck up, and you're the one that runs the risk of getting blamed for it. Even if some crazy shit happens on the internet, then it's going to come down to, oh, well, you know, you weren't watching your kid.
And see, I'm of the opinion where I don't think there are any more or less perverts now than there were then. I think now, I think now they're getting recognized, for lack of a better word. They're getting recognized a lot more. They're getting caught a lot more. And the cases that do happen are blowing up on a larger scale. Do you think that's true, or do you think the world really is more dangerous, or what?
That's hard. It's hard to tell, because you're right. I mean, when I was a kid, and I don't know if it was the same with you, I mean, we did not have teachers banging students like every fucking week, you know, a new case, you know. And I don't know if it was more on the hush-hush, or if it's just that. Sorry, I was dropping shit on the floor.
It's okay.
I don't know if it's more hush-hush back then, or if it's just a new wave of disgusting behavior. I don't know, because it's in it, and there's, I don't think there's any way of knowing, because, you know, the way that we interact as a people and as a society has changed to where now it is all instantaneous news. Everything you do is accessible to, you know, whatever I do here, if it's on Facebook, some asshole in China is going to know about it in 3 seconds. And then, you know what I mean? But back in the day, I could be sitting there in my broom jacking off, and ain't no one going to know what the hell's going on. But nowadays, you leave your webcam on by accident, the whole damn world's going to know what you've been doing with your free time in about 3 seconds.
Well, but then you also have, like, at my son's school, when he was younger, this is right when, you know, camera phones and everything became prevalent, you couldn't even, like, photograph your own child on the playground because they never knew who might be the pedophile. You know, if grandpa came to take a picture of his grandson, how do you know he's really not, you know, trolling for his next victim? It's overcompensation nowadays. There's a pedophile hiding behind every tree kind of bullshit.
I think you're right. I think there is a lot of overcompensation, because, you know, I think it all started back in the day with that huge campaign about child abuse and danger stranger and all that bullshit. And now everyone's so fucking paranoid. Everybody wants to be that gumshoe to figure out what's going on, but to figure out that shaky activity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, back again, going back in my own childhood and when the neighborhood was involved, there was a certain amount of trust amongst neighbors. I mean, there were certainly lots and lots of neighborhood kids who would end up at my house, and mom would end up feeding them or occasionally taking care of them. And we knew if the Gemberlings or whoever went out and went traveling and their son had to stay behind, he could stay with us and it wouldn't be a problem. Mom knew that if I had a problem at school and had to walk home early, Mrs. LeGrand or one of the other neighbors would be there, and there was a certain amount of trust. And I think 99 out of 100 times, that trust was earned and rightfully given.
And respected, too.
And respected. And I think that, you know, there's been so much of a spotlight thrown in that one out of 100 times that now the rest of that trust has eroded, and I hate to see that in the world.
But I would like to add, there's always going to be like the Casey Anthony issue, where once Casey Anthony killed her daughter, you went and looked back, there were all these signs that no one picked up on. So it does go the other way, that if someone had been a little more vigilant, this one little girl might have still been alive. And that's part of the problem. We're over-vigilant, but then we're also afraid of being over-vigilant, so we're under-vigilant, if that makes any sense.
I think part of the problem, too, is the fact that when we grew up, our neighbors were our neighbors. But nowadays, people don't fucking sit in one neighborhood for more than 3 years on average. You know, so you've always got new people coming in, you know, new people going out. People don't make a community, and you're always suspicious of that one asshole that moves in because it's like, well, I don't know what that guy's up to. Why is he moving in? Is he on some kind of sex offender list, you know? You know what I'm saying? That communities aren't tight-knit, and everyone doesn't just sit in one area anymore. It's a whole bunch of new people coming in and out. I think it's a combination of what Josh said and that, really.
Well, and then I also think we've got to stop treating children. I mean, yes, there's the hell spawn that, like, you know, Scott and I ran into and that you've run into and that. But we also got to stop treating them like they're little eggshells that'll crack at the slightest little bit of pressure. You know, like this whole thing, everybody gets a trophy. We don't keep score in games anymore. The kids are going to start to learn that that's the way the real world operates. They're going to get eaten alive when the real world comes down to fuck them in the ass.
And, you know, and what I think a big problem, especially with the teenage populace right now, is the fact that they don't learn that until later on in life. And then when they finally figure out that, oh, shit, I'm not going to get a trophy this time, they decide to go home and grab a few AR-14s and go hook up the lunchroom the next day because they didn't have a chance to work into that, you know, facet of reality.
Now, I believe this was out in San Francisco or somewhere, some school district up in Northern California. But the school superintendent of this particular district came out and has outlawed, for lack of a better word again, has outlawed best friends.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that one. That one's new to me.
But the rationale behind it is if you have a best friend and if you become attached to this one person, then you're going to exclude other people. And we're looking for a true team environment. And I'm watching child psychologists go, wow, no, this is extremely detrimental to the kids, because you have to learn to make that connection for one, and you have to learn to deal with the loss of that connection, which inevitably happens.
Am I the only one getting visions of Winston Smith from 1984 in my head right now? That they're just making drones is what they want to do now?
Well, plus, why should I have to hang out with Joseph Assface if he's a dickhead? Why should I be forced to hang out with that shitbag? And why should that shitbag not be forced to realize he's a shitbag? And no one wants to hang out with his dumbass, so he'd unfuck himself. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm sitting here forced to hang out with everybody in as some social orgy, that's retarded.
Well, that and you know, the simple truth is, I'm not going to, even if he's not a complete douchebag, I'm not going to want to hang out with Joe football player McJockey Sports.
And maybe he doesn't want to hang out with you.
And he doesn't want to hang out with Mr. Computer Nerd D&D guy me. And so you're going to form these cliques, and if you destroy those, then you destroy the entire, frankly, the entire idea of a tight-knit friendship.
And what true friendship actually is. Isn't that about being with the people you want to be with is what true friendship is?
Exactly.
Not forced friendship?
Yeah, I don't want to be forced to hang out with the black crowd. They'll kill me.
Who the hell did traitor to the damn race?
You should just come in with a pillowcase on your head one day. They'll leave you alone.
Oh, yeah, no shit, huh?
Now, actually, let me ask you about that. Actually, both of you being fathers, I know that each of you kind of have principles and ideas about ethics and stuff in life that you're going to try and impress on your children. And for the most part, that's a good thing. But, for instance, not too long ago, there was a couple that named their child... they had two children. Their first child was a little boy named Adolf Hitler, whatever the fuck their last name was.
Yes, I remember that.
And then
I
remember that. Their daughter's name was Aryan Nation, whatever the fuck their last name was. And unfortunately, they came out and they said, look, these are the principles that we agree in, that all niggers and Jews should die. And
see, part of my problem is, why is that news? But the black people that name, you know, their kids after Martin Luther King or, you know, Malcolm X and stuff, why is that not news? They're just as radical.
No,
but
why
isn't disagree. That news?
No, first no.
All, Martin Luther King was not part of some multi-million, you know, person or eradication campaign.
But Adolf Hitler was a Jew. Trust me, I'm not defending the asshole. I'm just saying it should be news both ways.
No, because Adolf Hitler was clearly an image of hate. Last I checked, I didn't see Martin Luther King calling on the eradication of the white race.
Malcolm X.
Well, Malcolm X is an asshole. I don't see too many kids named Malcolm X, but you know what I'm saying? It's Martin Luther King. I mean, I see where you're trying to make the comparison. I think that's a little over.
Might have been a bad choice of words on my part. How's
Look,
that?
Look, the only thing that ever went into Martin Luther King's oven was a pie.
Some cornbread.
Some cornbread, yeah, you know. Maybe he deep fried some watermelon. He never deep fried homosexuals. So I understand where you're going, Josh, but yeah. you're way the hell off base. But
all right.
But getting back to my original deal is, Where do you think ethically other people have the right to step in and say, no, you shouldn't be able to teach your children blah, whatever you want to teach them? Or do you think anybody has the right to do that?
I think when it gets to a clearly dangerous point, if you are training your child from birth to be a suicide bomber, that's a clearly dangerous thing. If you're training your child to maybe hate blacks or a black person to just hate white folks, that's your own prerogative. When you're training them to hate them so much that you think the next time you see a black guy on the street, he deserves to be beaten to death, that's when somebody should step in and put a stop to that. I think there are different degrees when it gets to all right, this shit's going too far. And I know that's going to be a line that's not going to be the same in every case.
No, I agree with that. I mean, I definitely agree with the fact that obviously you don't want to sit here because it's a slippery slope. If you start judging on what ideals and what morals you're going to start, you know, telling people that they can and can't pass on to their kids, then you start, you know, bleeding into, well, should I be teaching to be Christian or should I teach them to be whatever the hell they are, you know? But on the other hand, you're right. There does come a point to where the ideas are just ridiculously out of bounds, you know? You know, like those what those assholes are doing at the Westboro Baptist Church. You know, that's clearly ridiculous.
By the way, the Westboro Baptist Church is, they're based in Topeka, Kansas, our number one market.
Amen, brother.
And they're also legally a terrorist organization now.
Yeah, they should be, them bastards. But I think that as a society, I think what the definition should be, I think the definition of where ideas should be defined as what is appropriate and inappropriate, I think should be defined by society as a whole. I think that's the safest way to go about it. It's not foolproof, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I don't think that, you know, individually we, you know, have the right to be going next door going, well, you know, I don't agree with some of your hate mongering, so you shouldn't teach it to your kids. Or I don't agree with your Christianity, you shouldn't teach it to your kids. You see what I'm saying? But clearly there is, you know, if asshole down the street's teaching her kid to be a suicide bomber, or, you know, they're all burning crosses in the backyard getting ready for, you know, fucking lynching later on Sunday, obviously that's not right. And somebody should have the power and ability to step in, you know, but where do we define what's right and wrong? That's where it gets hard. Where does that line start to blur from what is fanaticism and what is just, you know, people's right to free thought?
Exactly. And that's even come under fire lately, or by lately, I do mean a couple of years ago, where a family had their child removed from them by social services because they would never let the child have candy, sugar, or anything, and forced the child to only eat vegetables and organic green foods. The kid went to his teacher and complained that his parents won't let him eat what he wants to eat, so they called social services, and the kid was taken away because not letting him have cotton candy apparently now is child abuse.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That is fucking ridiculous. But on the same token, look at, like, Christian Scientists. The people that I'm not going to get my child inoculated when or for any disease, or I'm not going to get them diabetes insulin shots because we believe you should just pray out the disease.
Yep.
And then that child dies. That's when you've stepped over the line. Your religion is dangerous to your child because clearly this shit don't work. You're praying out the gay and stuff. This don't work.
I think it should be. I think it comes down to, you know, if the kid isn't old enough to make that decision, I don't think that. Well, no, I'm trying to think how to formulate this. Now, I see what you're saying, and I definitely agree with that, because, you know, when that kind of shit happens, where, you know, a little, you know, Brenda's got asshole cancer or whatever, and she croaks from it because parents are trying to sit there and pray the cancer out of her ass, and it doesn't work, and she ends up dying. Well, that's not fair to her because she is not old enough to make the decision whether she wants to be a part of that religion. Now, if she's 19 years old and she wants to pray the asshole cancer out, well, then that's her prerogative. But at 5 and 6, she's not old enough to understand, and she's not old enough to accept those kind of decisions being made. And I think at that point, the state should be able to step in. And I know there are times where, you know, especially like in Utah, where this shit just runs rampant, the state has stepped in and said, knock off your dumbass shit, you assholes.
Well, and then it also brings up, like, Waco, you know, they were practicing their religion, and look at, he was sexually abusing children, or that cult leader from a couple of years ago that had, you know, 100 different 12-year-old brides, and they kept going, the state shouldn't be stepping in on how we raise our kids to be child brides. And you go, fuck you. Yes, this is not only illegal, but it's dangerous to the child. And like you said, Jason, the child can't form their own opinion, and even at that point, they've been brainwashed their whole life.
And unfortunately, we can't make laws to say, well, you know, your kids cannot participate in religion until they're a certain age, because then there's no separation between church and state. See, we're screwing ourselves with our own safety, with our own safety checked and balanced at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely hear you. I think that, I mean, one of the things within paganism, my religion, that's taught big time, is raise your kids with paganism surrounding them, but you can't really join a coven, and you can't join a pagan church until you're old enough to make that decision on your own, usually around 16 to 20.
Would you say the age, and I'm not meaning this facetiously, the age of reason?
The age of reason, the age of reasonable consent.
Right, like I said, I know that can come across as snide, but that's... I didn't mean that as snide, but the age when they can understand what they're getting into.
But Frank, and I've always believed that if there's anything that's going to fuck a society up real fast, it's going to be religion. But that's a completely
different
show.
Yeah.
I want to be on that episode.
Well, we want you on that episode.
We'll have you back. I guess what it really boils down to, Jason, is what challenges are you seeing today with your young children that you're pretty darn sure your parents didn't face? What's new in this world that you are noticing?
Oh, man.
Sexting?
The internet's the biggest thing. You know, I mean, I wasn't really into drugs and alcohol as a kid. You know, I love alcohol now. I've never gotten to the drug scene. So my parents didn't really have too bad of a time. The only issue they had with me was obviously my attitude. But
you were a teenager. I think we all had that attitude, Jason.
Exactly. But I was definitely not the craziest that, you know, that teenagedom has to offer. But I think as a parent right now, the biggest thing that I can see that is a challenge that my family or my parents or whatever never had to deal with is the goddamn internet, you know? That's the biggest one. You know, I'm not too worried about my son because he has a pretty good, you know, head on his shoulders. But, you know, maybe it's because I'm a father too. You know, my son and daughter are completely different personalities. I'm not too worried about him on the internet. But my daughter, I don't know. She's wired a lot like I am. And I can only imagine the shit that's going to, you know, when she discovers, you know, two guys in one stump or some shit like that.
Okay, I was going to ask you to clarify. Do you mean the internet in general having too much information or them just stumbling upon what to a 5 or 6 year old is dangerous, which would be the hardcore stuff that I agree a 6 year old should not be seeing, which you can find with any Google search with Safe Search off?
Yeah, I think it, the danger is them stumbling upon information that they're not ready to comprehend because they're not at a mental level to comprehend it, and the people that the internet has. You know, I mean, the three of us are clearly internet junkies. We're clearly Facebook hounds, and some of the assholes that are out there on the internet, the shit they can do to you from their computer is ridiculous, and you don't always know what they're stumbling onto because it's the computer. They're not sitting there talking, having a conversation. They're just quietly typing, clicking away with their monitor in their face. And you don't know what the hell's going on over there. And, you know, if you're not a vigilant parent, you don't know what kind of shit they're getting into.
But you also don't want to be so overprotective that you shield the real world from them like we were talking about before. You want to give them enough rope, but not quite enough to hang themselves with.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that thing that's just part of being a parent is, you know, just being vigilant enough to know that if your kids are getting into some shit that they shouldn't, then you need to be there when the time is appropriate to either answer the questions that are going to come up of it or to shut the whole thing down completely if it's just completely gone off the rails with whatever the hell they're doing.
Then that raises something, an observation that I'm making. And you guys can either agree with me or tell me I'm way out in left field, but I'm noticing there's a whole lot more parents out there in the world that just aren't willing or aren't able to be as vigilant as they should be. And I've noticed a whole lot more parents on both sides of that line. I've noticed a whole lot more, I call them helicopter parents. They've got the toddlers out, and they're 2 feet behind them, making sure.
Those are the people that are going to raise the Seymour Skinners.
Yeah, and then the other one that I call is the you may as well not be a parent, which is, you know, go
Nelson Muntz
and do your thing. And is it just me, or are you noticing in this generation of parents a whole lot more of those two extremes than there used to be?
I don't know. I really don't know, maybe it's where I live. I don't really see a lot of the overprotectiveness going on unless they're complete religious nuts. I see a lot more of the parents don't give a shit because we're now in an age where both parents are working 40-plus hours a week. Kids are getting brought up in a daycare system, and the parents aren't there as much as they used to be when we were growing up, when it was more of a one person works and one person stays home type deal. And I think, and I don't think that it's parents just don't give a shit. I just think it's parents are tired. You know, I just think the parent structure in the household is more tired at the end of the day than just not wanting to care.
I think they want to care.
They're just tired.
I got to agree with Jason on that. It's part of the society we live in, taking the whole parenting thing out, just to be able to pay the bills. They can't afford to be there anymore. They can't afford to watch whatever they do. But let's also not overlook the fact that when we were all kids, there were those terrible parents that didn't give a shit and the kid ran totally wild and whatnot. So that's always been there.
Oh yeah.
So we can't overlook. I don't think that's gotten any worse, but like the same thing with pedophiles, it's gotten more noticeable. I don't think the numbers have changed. Just people are starting to notice the numbers now, I think, is what the difference is, Scott.
Okay, I can understand that one. And of course, one of the things, we can't really talk about parenting in the modern age without talking about cyberbullying.
Oh, God.
And you talk about online bullying, and bullying in general seems to have just blown the fuck up all over the place. I remember, you know, again, looking back on my own childhood, through elementary school, I had two bullies that I can think of. That by the time sixth grade came around, I ended up beating the crap out of both of them, and God, it felt good. Robbie Shreve, you little piece of shit. If I ever meet you again, I will beat you down again.
Watch, he's as big as Schwarzenegger or Dolph Lundgren.
No, no, he's a used car salesman in Muncie, Indiana, and he's still a slimy fuckbag.
Should look him up, dude.
But, you know, I had those two bullies to deal with, but I did have kind of home to go to where I could shut the door. And I was safe. And do you think with cyberbullying that safety net is kind of disappearing since we're all connected or what?
Not only is it disappearing, but, you know, when you were getting bullied in school, it was more of a one-on-one thing. Now it's on the internet and everybody and their brother's watching and they're all fucking egging on this asshole because that's the kind of bullshit we're into now. We love watching people get jacked with. You know what I'm saying?
But then you also, and I can't believe I'm about to defend the Weinsteins, there's that new documentary out called Bully that, as we're recording this, is being released this Friday, okay? And it's all about how bullying is driving some kids to suicide and whatnot, both physical bullying and cyberbullying. And it's a documentary that was full of kids talking openly about bullying. And it was given an R rating for language, therefore cutting off the entire audience that would need to see this film to understand what the problem is. Do you see the weird dichotomy that this documentary is facing? So the Weinstein said, you know what, fuck you, we're releasing this film unrated, and you all can suck it. And this is the kind of documentary I want to see, and I think all kids and all parents of kids should see this.
What I don't get is why is it, you know, I don't see bullying being any worse today than it was when I was a kid. I just don't understand why it is now kids are turning to the whole, I'm going to go kill myself over it. You think it goes back to the whole everyone gets a trophy mentality?
That's precisely what I think it goes back to, is that the whole fragile self-esteem movement.
Yeah, because I mean, I had bullies and, you know, it sucked ass, And you know what's funny is I had girl bullies. I didn't even have boy bullies. I had girl bullies, man.
And I can tell you, and girl bullies are worse because they get into your head.
Bitches.
And they don't get me wrong, they really are. My mother gave me, actually, combination mom and dad gave me the best advice in the world with dealing with the bullies. And this is what I was able to do in sixth grade. And like I said, it felt so fucking good. Dad sat me down and he said, look, I know it hurts. He goes, it physically hurts when they hit you. It mentally hurts when they pick on you. And when even, you know, I hung out with the nerdy crowd. So it was not uncommon if I'm getting picked on for my nerdy friends to, it's a self-preservation mechanism. They turn on you and they're like, yeah, he's
done for. Let's get out of here.
No. They see me getting picked on and they're like, we're on the side of the bully because if we're on his side, he won't hit us. You know, it's that kind of a deal. My dad says, I know it hurts. It's a pain you're going to have to learn to live with. It's a pain you're going to have to learn to deal with in one way or another. And then my mom stepped in and she said, while you're as young as you are, the best way to deal with this kind of pain is to kick it right in the balls. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, yeah, it comes, you have to stand up. But I would actually, you know, keep in mind, I'm the father of an 18-year-old, so I'm not going through what Jason's about to when his kids start entering high school. But I would think it actually, you'd think things would be better now because people are more accepting of one black kid in an all-white school and the gay student, and that you would think there is more acceptance. Or am I just totally missing that?
It's not. I can tell you what the difference is when it comes to accepting of homosexuality and stuff like that. I don't think there is more acceptance. I think that there's less. It's less overt hatred.
Mm-hmm.
There is still the same amount of hatred there, but those that do the hate and do the picking on, in many cases, certainly not in all, but in many cases, are afraid. You know, back in the 50s, if Jason were to come into my school, I'd call him a fucking nigger lover Oreo piece of shit because he's half black.
Yeah.
And I could get away with it, and adults would be like, that's right.
You stand up for yourself. Yeah,
you tell that nigger exactly where he belongs. And, you know, or you tell that faggot exactly where he belongs. Or, you tell that woman to go back in the kitchen and make you a sandwich. I think that now, since the one good thing that political correctness has done is come in and kind of shove that under the rug, so that the hatred is still there. You know, the floor is just as dusty as it was. It's just that the dust is under the rug now.
Okay. Yeah, they keep it more on the down low, but I don't really see, especially with this whole homosexuality thing. I mean, give me a fucking break with that. You know, it's like, no, people aren't any more accepting of it now. It's just they keep their mouth shut. But, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks, you know, anytime somebody who, you know, is homosexual or ever tries to do something in a prominent role in society, oh, then people are a little bit more honest with their feelings. Be like, well, I don't know if this guy should be a senator because he's gay, you know. Or when it comes down to brass tacks, oh, we don't mind homosexualities. Okay, well, then let's have a vote on gay marriage. You know, we've been doing this shit out here in California for God knows. And California, by the way, gay capital of the country, we can't even pass the whole gay marriage thing because, well, it's going to wreck the whole marriage structure. But it's like, you know.
Yeah, because Arnold having a baby with his housekeeper doesn't wreck the marriage structure, huh?
Exactly. You know, all you Bible-thumping bastards out there going, it's going to make a mockery of marriage, but yet you're all out there boofing the neighbor down the street. Shut up with all that shit.
I actually thought you were going to say the neighbor dog there. You surprised me by holding back, Jason.
Oh, I figured that just came with it.
Okay, you just surprised me on that.
Doing the neighbor and sucking the dog's dick or some shit like that.
But I think as a parent of now an adult, in a weird way, I'm glad I'm not looking forward to what Jason's going to go through in this day and age. I'm glad my son was in school in the 90s. And I don't mean that as an insult, Jason. I'm just saying I actually think you're going to have it harder as a father than I did with my son in the 90s. Does that make sense?
It does. I guess it depends. I mean, I'm not dreading it because for me, it's like, look, if anyone wants to jack with my kids, well, first of all, they've got a whole new nightmare they're going to have to deal with, you know, because a lot of times I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to fight all my kids' battles. But on the other hand, I'm also not going to be one of these parents that stands by while my kids are getting fucked with to the point where I come home and he's hanging from the rafters either. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I don't know, you, and from what I know of you and the times I've talked to you, I would really not want to be on the receiving end of a teacher that, like, smacks one of your kids.
Why do I see you chasing a teacher through a high school with a samurai sword raised above your head?
No. Jason has to improvise. It's got to be like a yardstick he's chasing him down with.
I'd be driving up with the howitzer being towed behind my focus. Oh, it must be parent-teacher conference. This asshole's got his howitzer towing behind his car.
We only got 5 minutes left, but that's one other thing I wanted to bring up. The whole difference in this goes back to the trophy for everyone. You know, when the three of us were kids and we got bad grades, it was our fault. Mm-hmm. Now when a kid gets bad grades, it's the teacher's fault. What the fuck is up with that? Jason, yeah. Go.
I don't agree with that because, you know, look, if your kid isn't going to go to school and learn, what the hell is the teacher supposed to do? Teacher can't do shit anymore these days. You can't even look at little Billy sideways about a lawsuit coming down the pipes, but you're right. So little Billy goes in there with that spoiled ass, I get a trophy attitude, thinking I don't have to work. I'm going to get a good grade because everyone gets good grades. But then when he gets an E on his report card, oh, well, then it's the teacher's fault because they're a shitty teacher. Give me a fucking break with that.
See, and I think there's a line. If 60% of your class is failing, and we actually discovered this in my high school, there was a certain algebra class that 80% of the class was failing.
That might be a problem then.
That's a teacher problem.
Yeah, that's when you'd look back on the teacher. So if you've got classes failing, that's a teacher problem. If you have individuals failing, that's a student-parent issue.
But it's that the parents blame the teacher. You're not doing your job. Hey, you know what? Why don't you try doing your fucking job as a parent? I'm not a babysitter for 8 hours as a teacher.
Yeah.
Well, especially if they're in middle school or high school and you've got a teacher who maybe has your kid for an hour or two a day during that class. And then at the end of the class, they get up and fucking leave and go somewhere else.
And do they never consider that the kid just might be an asshole who does not want to learn?
Oh, no. Kids are good. Kids got all the rights now.
Kid's a genius. Kid's a genius, artistic genius. He's the next fucking Mark Twain and then
we flash forward
Neil deGrasse
10 years
Tyson
and,
wrapped into one, you know.
And then we flash forward 10 years and he's now the head custodian at that same school.
Exactly.
Doing meth in the boiler room.
No, Jason, cooking meth in the boiler room.
Exactly.
You don't just do it. You use the school to cook it, damn it. What do you think Bunsen burners are for, Jason? Come on.
Yeah, I'll be back. I got lab kids.
You go in all fucked up with your eyes all goofy. You sweep the wrong kid into the room.
Somebody used Breaking Bad as a user manual instead of a dramatic
instead
TV
of a cautionary
series.
Tale. You guys know this is not what you should aspire to.
So we've got a little bit of time left. I guess, Jason, my last question for you is, if you've got somebody out there who will be a father soon and they come to you and they say, what advice can you give me for my newborn to 5-year-old or so, and tell me, how can I be a better father?
I don't know, man. I mean, if I had to give any advice, my advice to be anyone would be, don't be a parent if you have a life. If you have a life and you're not willing to give up a lot of what you do socially with your friends or with your cash, don't be a fucking parent to begin with, because those people, I don't think any form of advice is going to help them be better parents. I think the people that are going to be the good parents are going to be the selfless ones that are willing to give up aspects of their life and transfer their sacrifice over to their children and raise them. So, I mean, I think my biggest advice is don't have fucking kids if you ain't gonna raise them. You know, do us all a favor, because I don't want to have to pay for your little shithead child when it ends up in the fucking juvenile system because you're just a piss-ass piece of crap parent.
Well, amen.
I definitely agree with you 100%. So, Jason, you obviously host your own show here on the Jackalope. Stop that, Josh.
It's a nice echo.
When can we watch you, and when can we listen, and what can we listen to you on?
Easy for you to say.
Well, we're on the Lope on Sundays at 2 Central. We go for 2.5 hours. And it's myself and my co-host Dale, and we do another Dan Talk Show Live. And I guarantee you, it's family fun entertainment.
Definitely.
How we haven't been thrown off the air yet is way beyond me.
Because you have not violated FCC rules yet, despite your best efforts, huh?
If you do listen to the show, go to jasonoblivion.com. Jump into the chat room. It adds a whole nother layer to the show. It's absolutely incredible. And when I can catch you live on Sunday, I enjoy you. Otherwise, I subscribe on iTunes, Jason. I love the show.
Oh, well, thanks, man. And by the way, we violate the FCC at least once a week, so make sure and tune in while we're still on the air.
You violate the FCC in the ass. Except, is it violation if the FCC likes it?
That's what we're beginning to wonder.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on, Jason.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Definitely. And thanks to everybody else for joining us. We'll see you next week.